Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Last week, I interviewed Michael Dugan about his film Raging Hormones and also his amazing amount of work on screenplays. He has written everything from national advertising campaigns to about soap operas, the scripts for soap operas. If you missed that interview, you can go back and listen to the archives and check it out. There's also over 80 different people that I've interviewed throughout the last 2 years that I've had the show, so you can check into all that as well. Today I'm going to be interviewing actress, director, and writer Monique Carmona, who I've also had on the show previously in June of 2012, and we're going to find out what's happening now in her life, and I think I have her on the line. Okay, Monique, are you there?
I am. Hello, Rachel.
Hi. Hi, Monique. How are you?
Doing great. We're over here in California, so I think we're a few hours behind getting our morning started.
Yes. Good morning. Wake up.
Good morning.
Well, back in 2012 when I interviewed you, I can't believe it's been 2 years, you had just done Front Seat Chronicles, and a lot has happened since then. You did some hilarious videos for The Virtual Zone, and that's the first thing I want to just talk about briefly. Tell me how you got into that and how people can see them, because that's a funny look at some of the stuff that you do.
Yeah, that's definitely much more in the SNL sketch kind of world. The ABD channel is produced by some really talented people, and Ayman Saman and Rosine, and they decided to take they have lots of different shows, but they decided to take one of these shows and create the Virtual Zone, which is Craigslist posts that really exist that are reenacted with a sort of twist. So I think that I met Ayman in a theater company. We had worked together previously. And he approached me and said, let's try a couple of these. And they were a blast. I mean, anybody who's done any kind of improv or just this kind of comedy knows it's really amazing because you get to just fully commit to the insanity of it all by playing everything, you know, very seriously, and then the context is just hilarious. So we did one where, I'd implore everybody to go check it out. You can go to the ADD channel. It's on YouTube, the Virtual Zone. My name is Monique Carmona, so you can check out mine. But there's many other funny ones too. And you really have to remind yourself this is actual stuff that's really posted on Craigslist. This is what's going on today in America. So we had a lot of fun, and you know we just guerrilla style shooting almost. You know, just setting up some shots, setting up the scenario. You know, there's different production values that you want to invest in for different kinds of things, and with this, it was really more the comedy that we were going for. And I think it's funny. You enjoyed that?
It is funny.
You liked seeing,
I did.
Yeah, like a clown. So yeah, that was great. And when we interviewed last time, we were talking about Front Seat Chronicles. They've actually gone on now. They're in season 3. Everyone can check them out at frontseatchronicles.com. And they are actually going to be, I think, airing shows regionally in Colorado on TV, which is very exciting for them. So they've gone from a webisode to actually hopefully going, you know, on live air.
Why Colorado?
Live air. I think that there's an affiliate there that was interested in what they were doing. And so you go where people are you know, interested. And, yeah, they're in season 3 now. They've come up with some really amazing episodes. And it's a great way to have discussions about all of these different social topics. Front Seat Chronicles all takes place in the front seat of a car, and they're about 7 minutes a pop. I got to write and act in that. And then I went on to do the comedy sketch. And then I wrote a play, another one anyway, which was a blast.
Yes.
We had a great time with that.
That was my next question. We're going to talk about Food, Sex, and Consequence. You've gotten some attention for this play. Tell us a little bit about what it's about and how you were inspired to do it.
Yeah. You know, a lot of artists have spent their, spent years, you know, in restaurants, whether it's as a bartender or a cocktail waitress, or so I've been in the restaurant scene, you know, in my past, you know, on and off, and I think that it's a wonderful place to tell stories. We all need to eat, and we all love food, and we all many different types of people, and you put those people in the same space at the same time, and you can have a good reason for some comedy and drama. So it takes place in an Italian bistro, in a haunted Italian bistro somewhere deep in the, you know, underbelly of Chicago, and present day, and really it centers around Gio, the main waiter and sort of archangel who knows everybody's business but sort of minds his own business, and he has two sidekick waitresses that speak, nothing but Italian, and you know, all of these things start to unravel. You think that they're separate pieces, separate vignettes, and then you see the through line, and it all comes together and explodes in your face. And we had such a good time. We had those 9 cast members. Mm-hmm. Such a good time. I wish you could have seen it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. We were going to say where we were showing the play was at the Two Roads Theater. It was in Tahunga Village. A small black box. It was perfect, though. We actually literally changed the stage to the bistro. And, you know, it was saucy. Not for the kids, a little saucy, but fun, nothing crazy. And, you know, we had a detective, and we had, you know, the sort of film noir whole bit, you know, with the detective and the siren, if you will. And then we had just many different kooky, quirky characters that hopefully, you know, delivered heart also, because I think it was important to the actors played it from a real place, and there was magical tropical fish. I mean, it sounds insane, and for all intents and purposes, it kind of was. But there was a lot of heart there, and hopefully inspiration. So people were using the words, you know, inspired and magical, and there was a lot of laughter. So that was great. It was good, and I hope to put it up again in the future. You know, I'm very impatient as an artist. I want to just go make things, and sometimes you need to develop things and get them out to different places like New York or London or wherever, you know. Mm-hmm. So that I don't think it's over for that play, and nor should it be. But whether or not I publish it and let other people do it or just put it up again, you know, I look forward to doing that again. I'm sort of all over the place, so with different mediums, you know, it's like the play, and now I'm doing the film, and I'd like to think that they all lend themselves to one another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to take right into the next part of what I was going to ask you. Was your new project called Forgive Me? And I've read the script. It's an amazing script. And you're going to, not only did you write it, but you're going to play the lead actress as well. Tell us a little bit about the plot, whatever you can say about it, and your inspiration for this one. Because it's totally different.
Sure. Yeah, completely. I mean, Forgive Me is a very insular story, and it's a suspense drama is how we're kind of going with it. And, you know, years ago I was talking to a friend, and we love this play Final Placement. I don't know if you remember that play, Final Placement, but there was a scene that everybody sort of knew from when two women came together from different sides of the tracks, and I was fascinated by that chemistry. And right after the play, I started mulling about with what would you do if somebody showed up at your house that shouldn't be there from the past, a past that you were trying to bury, a past that you were trying to forget, and this person came well-intended but broken, you know, and they just came knocking at the door, and they terrified you, and yet from their perspective, they were just trying to come and make amends. And so basically that's the beginning of the story where, you know, Paula, who is the homeowner and the person who's trying to move on, she's moved to a rural place, you know, away from the hustle-bustle of her past, and she's really just living, you know, peacefully and you know, trying to be awake as much as possible. And then this person shows up, and every demon and every fear and every bit of her past that she was trying to bury just blows up in her face. And so it's a short. It's a short film for now. Mm-hmm. We're looking at developing it into a feature. And yeah, I think that with short films, you want to be impactful right away. So on page one, you know, I want something to happen. And I want to come out of it, you know, in an impactful way. So, yeah, I can't give too much away because, you know, we don't want to give away what happens in the end. But I like the idea of having a female cast that focused on sort of an anti-hero protagonist and antagonist in a way. I like it when the good guys can be bad, and I like it when the bad guys can be good. And I think mm-hmm. that's how life is, you know, but with clear, defined, you know, structure that screenplay often needs. So, you know, the audience is going to project themselves onto these characters. And so we need that, you know, who's the real hero here at the end of the day? And, but I like to mix it up a little bit in life
mm-hmm.
and in my work.
It gets pretty dark. What did you draw on to create that?
I'm sorry.
What secret do I not know about you, Monique? That you have this dark,
yeah.
secret
oh,
past?
Yeah.
What
well,
is
yeah.
going on?
I mean, you know, I'm this person that does this kind of sketch comedy and all of that stuff that, you know, they say about comedians that, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. And,
yes.
and sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I drew from the play Final Placement. I drew from part of that, and I also drew from all of my past experiences and different stories I have heard from friends and family, and just being aware and awake in the world. You know, it's a gritty place out there. It's complex. It's messy. It's the stuff stories are made of, and So I'm hoping that on top of it being dark, that there's elements of beauty. And
mm-hmm.
compassion somehow sewn through, and
mm-hmm.
we just found a location out in Agua Dulce. I don't remember that place. I didn't even know it existed, but it's just outside of LA, past Santa Clarita.
Wow. Okay.
We found an amazing location, a little pink house on the top of a hill, surrounded by nothing but gorgeous sunsets and trees, and it's really my aim to not feel like we're in LA at all
mm-hmm.
when showing this film, just to give that feeling, a stylized feeling. So I'm really, really excited about that. The whole team is. And we're going to
mm-hmm.
be shooting at the end of March, God willing.
But you're trying to get funds for this. Do you have enough funds
yeah.
to shoot, or are you still trying to get more?
Well, we're in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign right now, and Kickstarter is an amazing platform where indie artists and designers and you name it, people that want to create projects, can go out to their community and say, take a look at what we're doing, and if it inspires you, if you want to give a hand, if you want to help out, you know, throw in $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever. You know, you give away perks, you give away rewards, we're giving away some associate producer credits for people that are interested in that. And, you know, consultations with the writer or producer, just, you know, if you've got a project that you want to work on, that you want to birth, or that you want to sort of, you know, bring out from underneath the pillows, you know, we're willing to work with people and spread the word that way. And so, yeah,
mm-hmm.
we're halfway there. We're trying to raise 10 grand, 3-day shoot. You
mm-hmm.
got to get insurance permits and all that stuff. And just did a casting session yesterday. So we're halfway there anyway. And, yeah, we're looking for about 5 more grand. And so please, anyone listening, please spread the word. We're really excited about the project. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that I'm really looking forward to doing. We had the privilege of working with some actors yesterday or Friday in casting. And I really got to see the meat of this stuff starting to come to life. And it was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And how do people find out about it? What's your Kickstarter website?
You can just go to Kickstarter /forgiveme. I think that's
mm-hmm.
the whole thing. And then also we have a Forgive Me page on Facebook. It's all over that. It's all over my page. You know, I'm fascinated about how I'm going to turn this short into a feature. It will be different, obviously. It'll have, you know, another 80 pages, 90 pages attached to it, so the story will develop
mm-hmm.
and change. But I think this actual 10-page short will be a good starting point, opening up the story of what the heck happened here with these guys, you know. Mm-hmm. And with Sadie and with Paula, what is that? And when they separated after, you know, this said incident, you know, what did Sadie's life look like, and how she became obsessed with needing to come to Paula to apologize and make right, and what did Paula do to move on, you know? So mm-hmm. So you liked it? You thought it was pretty dark?
Yeah, I did. I liked it. There's a lot to it. Like every word, everything that's going on, there's so much underneath.
Uh-huh.
You know, how do you, as an actress, how do you suggest someone, you know, dig into something that's as dark as that? Because there's so much that's not said that's underneath, you know what I mean, that you're not showing through directly.
Yeah, I mean, quite frankly, I'm looking for that person to kind of walk into the room. And, you know, it's funny, as an actress, we always want to think that we can play a million roles, and you know, God bless us. We've studied, we've trained, and we can, you know, certain people can transform, you know, mm-hmm. Into many different roles, given the time and the you know, the surrounding team members to help make that come to fruition. But, you know, in this case, I needed somebody to walk in the door initially for the casting, to at least get a call back anyway, to understand the writing, to understand, even though they didn't have backstory, to understand the complexities of what was going on. It's all there if you read it. You know, I think David Mamet says, you know, mm-hmm. it's just like, just it's all in the script. Just read it. You know, it's there. Said something like that. But,
yeah.
You know, and so there were people that came in to the audition that had a better understanding of what was going on. And maybe they had a better understanding because they were more intellectual. Maybe they had a better understanding because they spent more time with it. Maybe they had a better understanding because they were related to that character in more ways than the other people auditioning. So, mm-hmm. I'm looking for that spark. I'm looking for that chemistry. You know, I can work on giving them more information, and I can work. I mean, it's their first read. You know, they did amazing. But I can tell somebody who can come in, like, for example, Sadie's character is very broken and wounded. I think the breakdown was, you know, charming, attractive, wounded, misguided, you know, overzealous, and all of these different wonderful adjectives that people got to play with. And some women just came into the room and, you know, they just hadn't suffered in life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the way, close to the way Sadie had. Now, don't get me wrong, I think suffering is relative, and who's to say. But there, you know, there were other people that came in and understood a little bit about, you know, coming from a place of pain. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're looking for that. You're looking for that element. Mm-hmm. And then I got to read with them, which was a unique experience. I gave them 110%. So, you know, they didn't know if I was just the director reading them or the reader or the casting director, or they didn't know what. I mean, obviously. So I definitely gave them something to play with. And mm-hmm. we had a lot of fun. I can't tell you, you know, as a creative, you know, producing your own content, there's a lot of nuts and bolts, a lot of hard work that always goes into it, a lot of daily, you know, stuff. And mm-hmm. when you get to the process of casting, it's such a delight and reminds you of exactly why you're willing to do all the hard work to get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the stuff that story filmmaking, storytelling, you know, all of that. It's the stuff where all the alchemy starts to come together. It's gorgeous, mm-hmm. you know.
And of course,
and
it was interesting how
it can also be horrific.
Yeah.
You know. But anyway, you're saying.
It was interesting how your video for Kickstarter was the opposite of the script. It was more your personality, and it was hilarious. It's worth just clicking on the Kickstarter to watch the video alone. It was almost like a mini movie. Why did you decide to do it that way and make it so funny?
Well, you know, at first our producing partner, Luke, he had said, you know, we should do something entertaining and funny. And I was like, we can't lie to our people. Like, it's not a funny movie. I don't want them thinking, you know, hey, it's funny. And then they see it and they're like, whoa, what? You just took my heart out and stepped on it. What the hell, you know? And he said, no, I don't mean funny. I mean entertaining. I said, well, of course we're going to be entertaining when we talk about this project. And the more I thought about it, the more I mulled over it, I realized they're different things. You know, fundraising, a campaign for fundraising has a different energy body than, you know, the particular film that you might be making. The you know, the fundraising aspect of it is like a cheerleading, you know, marathon slash football game. You know, you're really trying to get people involved and excited and inspired, and the energy needs to be high. And I loved making fun of the process of raising money itself and how awkward that is. And that's what I do in the video. It's just, you know, behind the scenes Kickstarter campaign, like they do at the Grammys or like they do at the Emmys, you know, when they're behind the scenes and you're seeing all of the underbelly of it. You know, I've got curlers in my hair and I'm freaking out. And, you know, I came up with the idea in a flash. It just came to me where, you know, and you have to go check out the Kickstarter video because I swear you'll get a chuckle. But
yeah, it's really funny. I watched it 2-3 times, actually. I thought it was hilarious.
I came up with that idea, and I took it back to those guys, and they were you know, my associate producer, Mel Recker, and Luke, and they were willing to play ball and have some fun because, you know, we kind of get naked. So
yeah, literally.
Literally. But, you know, then we decided to, you know, we found a way to sort of transition into what the movie was about in a professional way. You can see we're professionals. You can see that, you know, we've done this before, but, you know, in this particular project, the way I want it to look, we need help, you know. We need to go to our community, and I'm really grateful for Kickstarter, you know.
Let me just clarify, I didn't watch it 2-3 times just because you guys were naked. I watched it because it was funny.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, let's put that out there. Yeah.
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 Moving on.
It kind of looks like a single camera comedy kind of thing because Alan Suele, who shot it for us, he's just a great shooter, great editor, and so we had a great time that day. But you know, come March, I'm hoping to be on that hilltop shooting this film and working intensely. You know, it's going to be a challenge. It's very ambitious to direct and act.
Mhm. And write.
Well, the writing's over.
Both.
You know, the writing. Yeah. The writing is over for all intents and purposes. The birthing process of that. I mean, I will tweak as we go along, but I just need a strong team around me when I'm directing and acting. And a lot of people sort of think that's ridiculous, but I think with a short film and with the right people around you and with the right amount of rehearsal time, we can go in there and do that. I'm really looking forward to playing Paula.
Mhm. And you've also, besides writing this strong script, you've also written a book recently, which we haven't talked about. Tell us about your book and about how you're marketing it right now.
Well, my book is Women on the Edge. It's 43 monologues for women, and that's been just a longer process, you know. You know, the short, for all intents and purposes, shot out of me within a month, and, you know, the book is more like an 8-year, 10-year process. I didn't know it was a book until I had written so many that somebody had suggested, why don't I look into that? And I started writing monologues for women years ago when I was performing myself and wanted to express certain things and didn't want to, you know, do Our Town again or something from, you know, the same play, Glass Menagerie, you know, Shoot Me in the Face.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to write, you know, sordid, comedic, whatever I wanted to do. And so I wrote 43 of them and self-published, but then fortunately Samuel French, which, you know, Samuel French, legendary Samuel French, whatever, and they went on Sunset and one in New York and London, they took a look at the book and they're selling it now. And had my first book signing at Samuel French a couple months ago and got some actresses to come out and read some of the pieces, and it was fabulous. They were amazing, and I was very grateful for the turnout and everyone that showed up. We had a good time. And, so I may be doing a show around that. My hope is to not keep it, you know, two-dimensional. A monologue sometimes, I think, freak people out. But I think if you can really bring the universal into the singular person on stage, I think the audience can get a lot out of it. So we're going to, you know, do a show, which will then, of course, highlight the book. I'm not going to do all 43 monologues, fear not, but, you know, taking a cluster of them and then stylizing a show around, you know, 15 of them. I might do that a couple of times this year.
Well,
but it's different,
that's right.
You know, going from film to stage, it's a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Yeah.
Do you see that people are writing better parts for women or worse parts? Like, what are you seeing out there when you're auditioning and looking at scripts? Do you see the role of women changing in film, or what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Look, the percentages are staggeringly low for women in film. And I mean across the board. I mean behind the scenes. I mean, you know, camera. I mean, you know, makeup and hair. I mean, the whole thing. Wardrobe, you know, acting, writing, directing, producing. And I want to be part of the solution. And, yeah, but no, you think about some of these new shows, Orange is the New Black. You know, look at Robin Wright in House of Cards. And what I'm interested in, I'm very, very excited by the anti-hero, you know, and they've seen that, we've seen that a lot with male roles, you know, in Deadwood and Breaking Bad and so many of the shows. And so I think I'm eager to concentrate on women that are anti-heroes, women that are complex and dynamic and dark and likable and relatable. Because I think, you know, I mean, long gone are the days where, you know, we as a species, you know, we're jaded. I mean, we have the internet. We can see what's going on everywhere, and we can't walk around without that knowledge anymore. And I think about there's a lot of stuff now coming out on the air, and with auditions, and you know that we're seeing, and we're moving in the right direction. You know, definitely a lot of independent filmmakers at Sundance last year were women. It's, and I think too, of course, with technology changing, you know, we're going to be shooting on the red, for this upcoming film. I shot on the red for my last short film that I directed. But you know, there's so many, ways now to shoot without having to go to a large studio. And if you start with a strong story and you make sure your story is developed and ready to go, and you get the right people around you, you really can tell a fantastic story without having to sell your soul. And, you know, distribution's a whole other conversation, and platforms that are going on now with Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and all of these different things, and video on demand. And I don't know what the next 5 years is going to look like, but I just get that right now we're kind of in that wild, wild west time where anything goes. And if you've got an idea, you know, now is the time to jump on it. If you've got an idea, develop it. If you've got a story to tell, there is no they. This whole concept of, like, you know, they, when they tell me I can do it, or when they approve of me, or when they give me the money, there is no they. And if you think that there is a they, you'll sit back and wait and watch your life go by. And I'm only specifically speaking to the people that are interested in this. Obviously, ones that aren't could give a shit. But do whatever you can to get it out into the world and spend time making it good.
You've been really lucky because you've had the time to be able to do this, partly because you have kind of a magnificent day job. And I'll call it a day job, where you work with your husband at this great studio. Also, you're so busy. Can you tell us a little bit about that, too?
We have a post-sound studio called Sound Chef Studios. We're in the Television Center. I don't know if you remember that, in Hollywood. And we do sound and we do voiceover for animation. We do, you know, foreign language for Law and Order. We do their Spanish international. We do commercials and radio spots. We do feature films. We do 5.1 surround mixing for all these different these different shows. But one of the things, you know, like we just did last week, actually, like finishing yesterday for like 9 days straight, we turned a film, a Russian comedy, into an English comedy because they wanted it available for the Olympics at Sochi. And it was nuts. And you know, I will say, you know, you said, you know, you have the time. No, you make the time. I have a job just like everybody else. You make the time. It's a priority for me. And at the end of the day, your life will show you what you really want. Take a look around at what you have, and that's what you really want. And that's kind of provocative.
That's true.
And it's sad sometimes because I look around and I go, I didn't know that I wanted this. But there's there's some level of truth to that, and the bottom line is...
I think about that every day, Monique.
You know, my point being, make the time, even if it's, you know, make the time. And if you think, well, I don't have time to write a novel, then don't write a novel. Write a short story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have time to do Star Wars, then don't do Star Wars. You know, do an insular, you know, Woody Allen type film, minus the pedophilia accusations.
Yeah.
And do a Woody Allen type insular film, you know, do Tape. They did that in a hotel room, you know, with Ethan Hawke. There's so many things that you can do. The bottom line is you can shoot something on the moon, or you can shoot it in the desert, or you can shoot it in a bedroom, but it always comes down to relationships. It always comes down to relationships, because that's why we go to the movies. We want to see ourselves. We want to understand what we are and why we are. And this turned into philosophy 101.
I know. Look at how that happened.
Everything you and me having a conversation. You and me having a conversation, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to give the website for Sound Chef, too, so people can find out if they need any sound, anything,
yes,
they can
filmmakers, come to. Filmmakers out there, if you guys are looking for sound on your film, because as you know, it's so huge, it's such a big element, you can really make a great product, and then your sound is messed up and you're screwed. Anyone with a budget, contact us. Be clear, anyone with a budget. We're soundchef.net, actually, soundchef.net. And, we're here. We're all, you know, and that's great because obviously my post-sound is hooked up for the film. We also just got some excellent news. The colorist that did Fruitvale Station, the Sundance winner, Cannes winner, Fruitvale Station, about the gentleman that got shot at the BART in Oakland a few years back. And this filmmaker is really just beginning a long, long career. We got the colorist come on board for my short for Forgive Me, so we're really blessed. Yeah, coloring is a huge element. Think about movies like Her and how that's been colored, and you think about just so many of the movies, Coen Brothers, you know, pay attention to the coloring that goes on, Gravity, all of these different pictures. And so I'm looking to bring some style and tone to the film. So it's going to be extraordinary.
It's kind of
gritty. Please, everyone. Gritty.
Film's gritty, yeah.
It is, but
for
did
sure.
You see or hear about Ain't Them Body Saints recently?
No.
Ain't Them Body Saints with Casey Affleck and...
No.
What is it, Marnie? What's her name? She did Dragon Tattoo. Rooney Mara or whatever, I'm not even sure. Anyway,
yeah,
they just did a film
Mara.
Called Ain't Them Body Saints, and we're looking for a similar kind of tone style.
I've heard of that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, make sure everybody goes to Kickstarter and sees if they can throw in $10 or $5 or pass it around and share, and we can make this happen.
Okay. And then how do people, besides the film project, how do people find out more about you? Do you have a website, IMDb, or anything else that you want to give out?
I think really nowadays, I mean, if you want to reach out to me or if you want to just see what's up, just go to my Facebook, because that's kind of where I'm doing everything. There is a Woman on the Edge Facebook page, which is for my book, for anyone who's interested in hearing about that. And really what I do there is I just sort of, I don't focus on the book as much as I focus on being on the edge of whatever you're working on, or, you know, in your own artistic life. But Women on the Edge, so that's On the Edge on Facebook. And then Monique Carmona on Facebook. And right now, if you go there, it's all about Forgive Me, the film, and and then hopefully by the time we do another interview next time, I'll be working on the feature, which is a very big step for me.
Yeah, I think you have a winner. I really like the script a lot, and I know that you're a great actress, so I can't wait to see how it turns out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, we're running out of time already, believe it or not.
I think that we should, I think that I just basically spoke 3 days worth in one half hour, so I think we're good.
Yeah, that's what I try to go for. I try to push everybody to get everything from their life into one little capsule. And
I was born a
wee
lass. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Monique, well, thank you for coming on the show. And
I appreciate it.
Yeah, and I'll bring you back at some point, a couple years down the road when everything's, you're a big star and, you know, won at Sundance something like that.
I just hope to be able to continue making stories come to life, really, to tell you the truth. That's really all I want to do. And if they're well received, then right on, you know, all the better for everybody
involved. Yeah, you've always been really a no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is kind of person, and you are the kind of person that gets things done. So I have no doubt that you will be getting things done.
Thank you.
Good luck.
I appreciate it. Yes. Take care and
I will
stay in touch.
Talk to you soon. Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Monique. Okay, bye.
Take care.
Okay, well, that was a great conversation with Monique. Of course, she and I are friends, and I have put her on the show before, like I said in the beginning, in June of 2012, so you can go back and listen to that interview as well. And we focused on Front Seat Chronicles, mostly, in that film, in that show. But she's done so much since then, and it just is great to see her growth as a writer, actress, filmmaker, etc. In fact, Movie Maker Magazine wrote about her as an up-and-coming director, so that's kind of exciting as well. And, you know, you can re-listen to this show if you missed any of those websites, but check out her Kickstarter campaign. It really is worth seeing the video. It's hilarious. Also, those Virtual Zone videos are very funny. She has a very funny side, and then she can also be very dramatic. And it was kind of a shock when I first saw Front Seat Chronicles to see that shift and how she was able to tone everything down and do the drama as well. So she's got quite a range. She's a great actress and a great friend. Okay, moving on, guys. I want to tell you also, which I haven't said before, I'm now the official coordinator for FSC, otherwise known as Florida SuperCons, Super Geek Film Festival. So if you want a filmmaker out there that's looking to get your film shown and you are in the theme genre of sci-fi, anime, even horror. There's a lot of different types of themes that we're employing in the show. It's coming up in July 3rd through 7th, I believe. I don't have it in front of me right now. But I know I'm going to be there the 3rd through the 7th. And we're looking for films. So we take shorts, features, documentaries, you name it. So if you're a filmmaker listening to the show and you have a product that you've done recently that you want to be shown, please contact me because I am helping to coordinate all the films that are coming in. My email address is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods at yahoo.com. And also, if you are just a filmmaker that would like to be on this show, I would be happy to look at your stuff and see if I could bring you on in the future. And also, guys, please check out my Facebook, which is Indie Streak, just like this show, and check out my website, which is www.independentstreak.ning.com. I have really been keeping that updated pretty much daily. I have a ton of information on there, reviews, events, little tidbits for actors, kudos to actors. It does focus on the Florida market, but I do have stuff that's international as well from time to time, especially some of the shows that I repost there and some of the reviews and interviews. Like I just did a review for the movie Aftermath. Excellent movie. I highly recommend it. And you could check out the review on the website for that film and a lot more. So also, guys, always remember that you can go back and listen to my archives, and if you missed any of the shows, you can go back and take a listen. I appreciate you tuning in today, and I will be back next week with more. I'm starting to line up filmmakers for this month, so I'm excited. And I will talk to you then. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.